I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, joined with Mark, Robin, myself, Matt.
Good evening.
Talking Bills news and reviews with the UK twist. And it's another big week, really. Dolphins last week, which we're going to review. Bears this week, which we're going to preview. Let's start. How are you feeling? How confident are you feeling now after that Dolphins game?
This to me,
James, the hardest question.
this to me felt like a big step in the right direction. It almost felt a little bit like Bills of last year on the run up to the playoffs, like completely unable to stop the run. But Josh just slinging it about, looking brilliant. This was the Josh from first half of the season before up to the Chiefs game, just drawing up plays, making it happen, finding ways to put the game on his back and winning it. This was the Josh that hasn't been there for the last month or so. Looked absolutely back to his best today. Whenever the game was.
Whenever we lost.
Saturday night.
Yeah, there's definite shades of 2021 Bills, isn't there? Because the we all worried that the pass rush would go away without Von Miller, and it isn't nearly as good. It certainly wasn't against the Dolphins anyway. Yeah. So you're starting to see Trey and Elam having to do more work breaking up passes with the cornerbacks. But yeah, like you say, there's I mean, Josh Allen must drive you absolutely crazy with love and also crazy with frustration when you're standing on the sidelines, because with 0 seconds to go in the half, that's such a no-no of taking the 3 points and throwing it away and knowing, and he just hung on and hung on and hung on. And there's James Cook in the end zone to, you know, save the blushes. Amazing play and an amazing throw. And yeah, I mean, we'll go through the individual plays, but I'm sure we've all got them. But the 45-yard run as well, where I thought he was gone. I thought he was taking that to the house. I thought he was so close to it. And when he plays like that, everyone always says, don't put too much on him. You know, try and spread it out. But on the other hand, when he is like that, he can't be stopped. And so all the other parts of the game just fall into place.
Were any of you guys like me on that last towards the end of that fourth quarter, and think on that last drive, I was actually putting my hands in my head, actually pulling a cushion in front of my eyes, hide myself in my dressing gown and all that, on that last drive when the game was
Doctor
pretty
Who
much on
Daleks
the line.
Thing, isn't it? As a child, and yet
it was so stressful.
Yeah. But he absolutely managed it. If you go back, and I went back and looked at the play, and actually he had to convert a couple of third downs, and he had to do it. But he nailed every single pass, and he got everything down. He was so dialed in, so focused that actually we shouldn't have worried. Really, if we weren't Bills fans, we were watching it, you'd probably just think, oh yeah, he's just going to go down the field. He only needs 3 to win. You know, you're gonna roll this one out. It was absolutely, because of the hole we dug for ourselves in the third quarter, it made it a good deal more stressful than it really should have been. But the fact that they can come back from 8 points down, convert a two-pointer, get the ball back and do it is what the very best teams can do. And dare I say, the team you don't like me ever mentioning and the player you don't ever like me mentioning on the podcast, it almost reminds me of them. Then you think you've got them beat, and then they come and score a touchdown. They beat you by 3 points, and they're out of there, and they've got the win. And you just think, how the hell did they do that? They've got that thing where they know how to win now, and they're never beaten.
We do. I mean, there's repeating patterns, aren't there, with how he's performing on those drives. We're having those every game. There seems to be that long. That drive that takes up a certain amount of time that we get a score off at the end of it. We seem to be doing it a lot at the end of the second quarter going into halftime. We're finding ways to get touchdowns going into halftime, which is making a big difference. And what you said about Josh's play in that final drive, some of the passes that, like the first play to Gabe Davis, a couple of plays to Gabe Davis, one of the long ones to Diggs. They were like on the numbers on the chest. They were like difficult catches. It was absolutely precision. And and when you've got Josh playing like that, we're difficult for anyone to stop.
Yeah, especially after that, third quarter when it seemed like it was just all Miami. Oh,
God,
yeah.
And then at that four punts in a row
or something, wasn't it? It was a dog. 5 seconds on Cam Lewis, you stupid bastard. that's it, and then we'll move on.
But things like that, you just can't like. I hope he's got it out of his system now, right? And things like that, because you come up and get like an AFC Championship game, you cannot be giving teams possessions by making massive cock-ups like that. You just can't do it. Yeah. And it was like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
In a perverse way, I was almost glad that Miami scored a touchdown immediately after that drive, because if they'd just gone 3 and out, you might have gone, oh, well, you know, got the ball back. But because they punished us for that mistake, it kind of hammered home the importance of why that's not important. Sorry, of why that's so important not to do stupid roughing the kicker penalties. It was almost like, I was almost glad that we were punished for that, because we deserved to be.
Yeah. With that, and then the fumble on the next drive, it all felt like it was going south, and it looked like not fantastic, but comfortable first half, and then third quarter came around and it was like, oh, here we go. This is the Bills team that we've seen over the last month. So the fact that once again we found a way to win the game, it's hugely encouraging.
You keep it to a field goal as well, and you just think, all right, now that's your loss. 29-21, and we're still alive. And then Josh took over.
The point you made about the coverage as well, I think that's something that's going to become more crucial as we go into the season with the pass rush not being quite there. And this has got to be Elam's position now. Has to be for me.
Yes.
Like 18 coverage snaps, targeted 4 times. He allowed 2 receptions. It was only 11 yards and -2 yards after the catch.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like when Benford is fit, then I think he will play a part in rotation, but it's got to be Trey and it's got to be Kyra Elam. That's it.
Yeah.
I think Dane Jackson.
Yeah. Off, thanks. But
thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Good effort.
I think that's what I'm hoping is going to be the way. I mean, it depends. And we'll talk about it in the review and my understanding of why, especially in that, the game he was actually inactive for, Elam, why. Let's try and rephrase that. Why he would play and why he won't play based on the ability of the offense. But we'll talk about that in the Bears preview for it, because it could be quite an interesting debate on there. But what we need to talk about the Dolphins game, I think we started it with Allen himself, but it's that offense and how they've actually stepped up today. Because obviously Diggs didn't have his best game, but then come to the party, Dawson Knox. Obviously Gabe Davis came in with a few good plays, and then he spread it around quite a bit. And Quinton Morris with his first NFL touchdown.
That was really nice, wasn't it?
Two tight ends, two running backs, isn't it, for the 4 touchdowns as well.
Yeah, it was really nice to see. Don't know how I feel about Cole Beasley being on the field, but you know, he was there. That's how it is.
I think it's the question. I think I mentioned it in the preview show of reduced expectations. Don't think he's going to get you six for 50 or 10 for 90. He's not. No. If he can just be on the field and be a distraction and maybe pick up one or two, if that's what you go in and that's what he's there to do, then I can live with. Then I can live with that, but we're not getting 2020, Cole. We're getting a fill in who's, you know, good filler. No, we're not getting an impact player. We're getting a peripheral.
Let's put it this way: you're strengthening a what could be classed as a well, the last few weeks as a more of a weak spot for this Bills offense. Because don't get me wrong, we're 11-3 for this. We've relied heavily on Diggs. We've had drops and drops and drops. And this is an interesting stat that this season on target pass dropped by a wide receiver, Josh Allen is top of that list with 31. And you bring in a guy like Cole. Okay, he won't give you, as you say, he won't give you that stat line. We won't see the 2020 Cole Beasley, but he's that extra safe pair of hands that's going to give you that extra 4-6 yards or so to actually make you more manageable in that game. Because we've seen McKenzie and actually and his fumbles and drops and all that and being a bit of sort of a liability. Gabe Davis having his moments where lack of concentration just goes bang, gets it, drops it, or it's unplayable. And yet you've got Cole, to say, he'll get you those extra yards. And even if that's what they actually sign him for to do that, then it's a sneakily good signing.
I mean, I would probably disagree with saying that it's strengthening the receiver group. I would say it's probably fixing the flaw of the receiver group. And it's probably just making sure that the five or the six are at least operating at a sort of minimum level. It's sort of fixing the standby positions rather than making an impact. But if it makes Josh happier, if he likes having him around, if he, you know, he has a word or two in Shakir's ear or even McKenzie's ear, if they like having him around, if it leads to a couple of extra catches, then that's fine by me.
I think it's totally that. I think it's all about giving Josh what he wants. He was like, you know, McKenzie's a little bit droppy. Go get me Cole Beasley back. It's all about that for me.
All right, mate. Yeah.
And, you know, I can live with it. Yeah. Give Josh what he wants. Keep that guy happy. Don't care. Yeah. He can have my missus for all, that's what he needs.
Yes. There's all manner of different devil's bargains we'd make to get that championship, wouldn't we? Like, what would I give up? Yeah.
very little.
Let's do that on a late night show.
it's good to see that, obviously, with that and obviously that offense that we saw on Sunday, that the playbook can open up a little bit more. And what was interesting, I was reading that he had two different game scripts, Ken Dorsey, for that game. Obviously, one if it was snowing all the way through, mm-hmm. and then obviously the one where it's not, and which obviously was the case until that fourth quarter. But it's interesting to see the diversity now that we can put onto this offense and still have that run game as such, even though our top rusher was Josh Allen. But then again, that was because of that 45 yard rush on there. They're still getting the nitty gritty in there that allows to set up this offense to play that expansive 2020 Bills football.
That's what this reminded me of, totally that. It's Josh Allen as your main running back, chucking it around, finding different receivers, Dawson Knox catching touchdowns.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Dorsey has got enough of in his locker to be able to have different go-tos. I'm pleased as punch that it wasn't snowing because it looked like a couple of hours beforehand, it looked like it was going to be bad. And I don't think that suited us. Didn't necessarily suit Miami either, but with how they were able to run the ball, I'm not sure how well that goes for us if it's a bad snow day. But it's nice.
Oh, he's getting them in. He's getting them in. It's my job, these puns.
we'll see. But it felt nice to be. Like it was last year's Bills again. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying for weeks, haven't we, about Dawson Knox not getting enough catches and Gabe Davis is not holding on to enough catches. And like the last couple of games, I mean, look at Dawson Knox, 6 for 98 is the biggest, you know, biggest number of catches for the receivers. I think that what they seem to be doing is they just seem to be adapting the game plan for whoever they're playing, because we were talking about wanting to run the ball more, and they run the ball more against the Patriots. didn't against the Dolphins, and they just seem to be adapt, or at least attempting to adapt what they're, certainly what their offense is doing, depending on the standard or the strength of the opposition, which again is brilliant, because if you can do that, you know, Sean McDermott's always saying, don't be one dimensional. You don't want to just be able to run the ball. You don't want to just be able to throw. You want to be able to do whatever you need at that given moment in time. So yeah, 5 in a row, 11-3. I mean, God, what are we?
What are we complaining about, eh?
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. three more wins for the number one seed.
Well, one thing we can sort of complain about is how we let the Dolphins keep up with us, and that's mainly because of the run defense. I mean, Mozart,
and Waddle and Tyreek Hill. To be fair, they're Waddle and Tyreek Hill were going to get you a couple, and they got two very good touchdowns. And big splash plays as well.
Mozart with 136 yards on 17 carries. Yeah. Ahmed, 43 yards on 6 carries.
Yeah.
Kept really the Dolphins in the game compared to the previous game where they struggled to get that run going. And we always gave them, like, dangled that carrot, or in this instance, a fish. For the Dolphins,
I am as much as I dislike the Dolphins, and I really dislike the Dolphins.
Mm.
You can't really deny that they played a really damn good game.
Yeah,
they came in and stuck around, played well, had a game plan, stuck to it. I can't stand their fucking coach. just looks like he's trying to be that slightly geeky, funny man of the people geography teacher. And you think, just stop being a knob. Especially with his, I wish it were colder jumper beforehand. 100%, that's just trying to add fuel to the fire to us. But they backed him up and they came in and they played damn well. They had a good game plan. Luckily, we just had the best player on the pitch play for us. And that was it. Josh Allen made the difference in this game more than anybody else. Tyreek Hill is, and Waddle only had 3 receptions, but they were obviously big plays. We need to deal with that. More concerning for me is our inability to be able to stop the run. It felt like, you know, Raheem Mostert, if you're allowing someone on 17 carries to average 8 yards a run, something's up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to plug that hole pretty damn quick.
It's the issue of tackling now.
Yeah,
it was just
practice. What are you doing?
It was a bugbear like a couple of seasons ago. Sort of rectified itself a little bit last year when we actually were able to stop the run a lot more. But more recently, it's whether it is just the angle they take or the actual blocking scheme by the opposition offense that actually puts them into the position to miss the tackle. It's really detrimental to this, to the game. And it's what's keeping them in and keeping the offense of the opposition, in this case, Miami, sticking to their game plan. You take that away and you get that tackling, and Hamlin, and I've been singing his praises this season. He's the main culprit on there. And then what was it on? I think it was Waddle's touchdown, the miscommunication as well. So there's still nagging stuff in that secondary and in that defense that needs to be fixed before we can really start saying it's a complete all round team performance on the win.
Even Matt Milano missed a couple of tackles and took and there were a couple of times that he was going, like, one, I think Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill will do it to you because he's quick, but he's been one of the better tacklers in our defense. But there was one where he just ran past him like he wasn't even there. And you're right, it's a problem. It's been a problem for far too long, especially this season. Don't understand why we, like, you know, you're wearing every pad that you've got so you can hit people as hard as you possibly want. Mm. Go and stop fanning about and, like, whatever it is we're doing, just fucking hit them, especially when it's the Dolphins. It's annoying.
Yeah.
The one good thing that's coming out of this is obviously he's still inconsistent, he's still rusty, but it's White getting back to back to the player he was before. Obviously, he was following Waddle around, leaving obviously Hill for Dane Jackson, Kyrie Lamb, and all that. But there were still times where he still looks a bit rusty, and that's understandable. You come back off an ACL, and it's not the easiest of injuries, especially when you're backpedaling as a cornerback and then having to turn sharply on it to actually get that fluidness in there. But he's starting to get back to how he was. And actually, hit him at the line of scrimmage. So, coming into the end of the season, obviously playoff wise, it's good that we're getting him back at the right time. And we saw, people may have seen on Twitter. Obviously, we talked about Benford potentially being back. Even Jordan, even Micah Hyde, is in practice. So, getting White back at this time, even if he has for the rest of the current season, have a mix and match games where he's actually really rubbish and we're calling him to be benched or having an amazing elite all pro game, we're getting back at the right time for this defense.
Yeah. Three more regular season games will just round him into shape for the playoffs, won't it? Because he was very limited on snaps when he came back, and he was at least two or three games past what we thought he'd be back by. And then when he did come back, he was limited. But he's pretty much close to 100% now, isn't he? So you just got to think a couple more games, a couple more runouts. Let's see what it's like against the Bears, and then let's see what it's like against the Bengals as well, because I have a funny feeling against Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd, we might need him.
That's the crucial one, right? That's the one that's coming up where it's, you know, everything's on that. Although, like, we'll get onto it in a minute, but the Bears is not going to be any walkover based on our defense and tackling and Justin Fields.
Yeah, the Eagles are run, didn't they, on last week?
best running attack in the league.
The one. You shouldn't have actually said this when we're actually doing the when we're talking about obviously the review on there, that we've got nothing really to moan or worry about. Another thing to worry about.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt. You've always got stuff to moan about.
Yeah. It's a mindset, Matt. It's a mindset. About,
but, you know, me and Robin are just we're just positive life affirmation type guys.
Wait, that's not right. I'm usually the other way around. One of you guys. I have a feeling we're going to lose. I'm not going to know we're going to win. But no, it's this O-line. And obviously, losing Mitch Morse again.
Sixth concussion, which is at least five more concussions than I would feel comfortable
having. And obviously, having Bates was out in that game as well. And Spencer Brown still not having the best of seasons.
Nope.
And obviously even bringing Roger Saffold, he's actually had a bit of a slump the last few weeks. Going forward, it's something that's going to be interesting to watch. And I feel that I think in the off season, it is going to be more of a look towards this offensive line, because you lose a guy like Morse, your best interior lineman, and you've got to put Van Royten at center. And Quesenberry at guard, and you're one injury again closer. You're one injury closer to Bobby Hart.
Yes. Well, your friend and mine, friend of the show, Dean Kindig. I just saw a tweet from him the other day. He's already started thinking about the draft, possibly really good draft for centers. And I know it's a really brutal thing to think about when you know been an absolutely brilliant soldier for us, Mitch Morse, and obviously thoughts and prayers with him. Let's all hope that he's fine. But almost man to man, I don't know if I'd want to send a guy out there having had six concussions, thinking about a seventh. I just don't know if I could do that. Not that it matters what I think, because even if I were the head coach, it wouldn't really matter, because Mitch Morse is going to play to the end of this season, come what may, isn't he? Let's be honest. Nothing's going to keep him out of the game. We've got a chance of making a Super Bowl. He's not going to knock it off now, but long term, you've got to be thinking about getting someone else in.
I'd be perfectly happy if our entire draft was offensive line.
Yeah.
Every pick, take an O-line guy, because it's by far our weakest area now. Mm. When Dawkins is obviously playing, that certainly helps. Saffold seems to be a bit of a hold machine at the moment. So many big plays are coming back because he's holding. As you've said, Mitch Morse can't stay healthy. Spencer Brown, has been just poor. Ike Butker back, I notice. So that might be something that helps us elevated for the future. So that might be a good thing. It needs work.
Yeah. But that's for another.
If we had an average quarterback behind that offensive line, he'd be destroyed on a weekly basis.
Think Mike White, that type of destroyed.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
It would be painful. Thankfully we've got one of the top three players in the league.
Yeah. So moving on, we're on to Bears, Christmas Eve. A nice Christmas in Chicago. Reminded me pretty much of Home Alone.
Yeah, what a film. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I've not seen Home Alone yet. I've got to watch it.
It's a Christmas tradition. At least for me to watch it this every year. The missus and the kids don't even like it. So
what?
Yeah, I know. Huh?
Mate, that's a red flag. You need to be.
God, I mean, I hate everything in the world and all people. But even I like Home Alone. Jesus.
She'll watch it. Well, not out of sympathy, but she'll begrudgingly watch it. So, but that's for another time and another bit of discipline.
You never know, do you?
No, you can never tell about people.
Never tell. Yeah,
you get in a relationship with someone, you think everything's good, and then one day they tell you that she doesn't like Home Alone.
It's like a second date, third date sort of. You need to sort of find that out.
I'd been married to my missus for about 8 years before I found out she'd never seen Die Hard. And it was nearly relationship ending.
that is kind of huge.
You don't just throw that out there like, Die Hard's on. Oh, I've never seen that. What? It was like a pause the TV and stop. Like, what are you talking about moment?
Did she watch it with you when it was on?
She did. Yeah.
Did she enjoy it?
And she enjoyed it. Like,
that's fair enough. There's always a black spot somewhere. That's fair enough.
Yeah, had she started giving it the whole like, so what was the fuss all about? Or do we get out?
That's different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had a good run.
Yeah, it was good. Anyway, Buffalo Bills. Sorry.
Bears game. Going to be cold. I think in it really, really, really cold. 25 to 35 Fahrenheit, isn't it below?
Yeah, they're obviously talking about snow. And the only reason I mentioned Home Alone in there before we all went on for tangent was just like a quote.
What film, by the way?
with the quote, all what Marv used to say, all the great ones leave their marks. Obviously, take out the wet bandits bit for the
Buffalo. I was going to be interested how you're going to work that into the analogy there. Okay.
It's going to be another snowy, cold game, which does it play into the Bills' hands? I mean, we've played so many. Well, obviously, we played last week in the thing. We played previous snow games and all that. Will it play into the hands? Is it now a leveler?
Not too much either way, because the Bears play in the cold, don't they, as well? Same for the Bengals the following week. No, I think what might matter if it's that cold, it may be more of a running game. What I think is more is the wind. if it's true that they're saying gusting as high as 50 miles an hour, that might make the passing game more difficult. But
rather than
the temperature, I think if you don't have a lot of wind, yeah, fine. But there's heaters; they all have those huge jackets. Once you're actually running around, to a certain extent, it's the wind chill that gets you. Running once you're warmed up and running around, you probably wouldn't really notice. You got the gloves.
It's one of the you could say it's a leveler because obviously Chicago a good running team. Well, Justin Fields, Josh Allen type offense, which will run behind Fields more than they actually throws. It might be the game might be a level and might go down to running on that. And obviously, Khalil Herbert, did he go on IR? Did he put him on IR or just remove him from IR? He's their third leading rusher just behind Montgomery. And obviously,
yeah, Khalil Herbert's on IR with a hip. He's still on IR.
So for that, you're looking at just if you can limit what Montgomery and Fields do in that game, I think you've got a really good chance of actually of winning quite comfortably because you're just trying to look down there. Other than Montgomery, who is a good running back, not an elite one, and obviously Justin Fields being Justin Fields. Outside of that, you really haven't got anyone to worry about per se.
No, I think you're right. If we stop the run. They're as it, per yards per game, they are the best rushing attack in the NFL, which is bonkers when you think that they are 3-11, and they run the ball on average more yards per game than any other team in the league. But you're right; it's because they've got nothing else. Mm. I think their leading receiver is their tight end Cole Kmet.
Yeah,
who has formed a bit of a relationship with Fields. I'm not worried about the Chicago.
Oh, no, it's Darnell Mooney, actually. Sorry.
Okay. I'm not worried about the Fields' like ability to beat us through the air, really. I think that's not too much of a bother. He's not a turnover machine. He's actually thrown less interceptions than Josh Allen this year. But attempts wise, he's about half what Josh Allen has thrown. We need to stop him stop the run, win the game easily. But that's easier said than done when he feels like almost like when he's running the ball, he's almost like Lamar Jackson 2.0, which seems ridiculous given how athletic Lamar Jackson is. But Justin Fields is incredible that run he had in their previous game.
Yeah, it is one of those. It is one of those things. I mean, he's what about 2,000 yards passing over the season, which you've got Jimmy Garoppolo who's been injured for the majority of the season, obviously throwing more. Andy Dalton's throwing more from him, but it shows you what type of offense that Chicago want to build around. I mean, yeah, he's got 15 touchdowns. He's only thrown 10 interceptions, so one less interception than Josh Allen. But you've really got nothing on there to, and this always comes back to haunt people when you say, "Oh, there's nothing really to worry about. There's no threat to it." When we all know it ends up being reverse psychology and they turn out and actually beat us the way we don't expect them to beat us.
Darnell Mooney also, by the way, on IR.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah. So, that's one less to worry about.
So that's what, so really their offense is Montgomery, Fields and Mooney. Claypool, I think still on is limited. St. Brown is concussed. Kenil Harry, well, he has a name for the past. We've not been the type of guy he was for a first round pick. He's obviously not there. So you're relying on Dante Pettis as your leading wide receiver.
Yeah, well, amongst receivers, they go to tight ends quite a lot, but yeah, I'm not worried about him passing the ball, frankly. I think if our secondary can stay healthy and play a relatively clean game, we've just got to stop the run. Mm. A lot of this reminds me of a few games that we went into last season where we were really worried about the exact same thing. I think the Broncos game was one, and then when we played the Colts in the playoffs, and it was all like, are we going to be able to stop the run? And that was the concern. And we did. We ended up winning comfortably, and we were a bit like, maybe we need to trust this team a little bit more because they are actually good and we can trust them to get it right. So hopefully we can see a repeat of that.
Yeah. There's a reason for all the potential dangers that the Bears have for their running game and what have you. There's a reason they're 3-11. They've had five one scores, so okay, you could maybe grant them a couple, but that still only puts them at most at 5 or 6 wins if you're being absolutely generous. The reason is they'll be too leaky, they're too limited. They're too one-dimensional, and if they play an absolute, you know, take away the week one against San Francisco that they won, they've beaten Houston and got one over New England. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, yes, they've lost some close ones because if you have a good run game and you don't turn the ball over and don't make stupid mistakes, you'll stay in a one-score game and maybe they'll get a touchdown later on to make it interesting, or the other team pulls away with a second touchdown. But there's a reason why they're on 3 wins. We shouldn't underestimate them. Let's not overestimate them either.
Yeah, they've lost their last 7 on the trot. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, how did they push Philadelphia that close? For a team, for a Philadelphia team that's 13-1, it's got a good run game and all that. And
look at Philadelphia's 13 wins. And I know this is going to sound like a sort of, yeah, but who have they really beat? But who have they?
Who they really beat?
Who they really beat? I mean, well, they've won a lot of games, and they've deserved to win. They've deserved to win those games, and they beat the Cowboys. They have had a couple of good wins. But you've looked at them and you think, yeah, they should probably win that, and they should probably win that, and they should probably, and they've won them, and that's great. Mm. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you lose games you're supposed to, and maybe they would be 11-4 or 10-5 in another season, and they're not. They're 13-1, and that's fine. They're probably going to be the number one seed. I just have a funny feeling they are going to run into someone, if they're the number one seed, maybe in the divisional round, and it will be like a Tennessee Titans or even a Steelers the other way, where they just get absolutely punched in the face. And I just wonder if that maybe happened, that their limitations, such as they are at that top end of a 13-1 team, because obviously you're bloody good if you're 13-1, but there's maybe limitations that are starting to be exposed. It's also difficult winning, you know, over and over again and that kind of thing. And you wonder, are they maybe just running out of steam just a little bit? Are they maybe just starting to become exposed and starting to sort of revert to the mean? And I just have the funniest feeling. I would love a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl. That would be fantastic. But I get the funniest feeling they're going to get beat in the playoffs. They'll get beat in the divisional round. Someone, maybe the 49ers, or someone will get them. But, yeah. And so to answer your question, the Bears played pretty well. They ran the ball well. They defended well. They didn't do anything stupid. And they hung around. And Philadelphia just couldn't put them away.
I think, is there anything really that, I think this defense of Chicago is going to be, it seems like it's going to be a difference maker for them. I mean, obviously they had 2 interceptions and a sack of Jalen Hurts, a guy who doesn't turn over the ball, barely turns over the ball this season. But is there really anything on that?
They also gave up 300 yards to AJ Brown and Donta Smith. So I'd like to think if Jalen Hurts can pick apart a defense like that, I'd like to see what Josh Allen can do.
So, I mean, they're what? They're 15th. Let me just put this in right order. Yep. They're 15th in pass defense, only allowing up 2,964 yards. 16 touchdowns at average of 211.7 yards per game, whereas the Bills were actually 18th in pass defense.
A lot of that is determined by who you've played, don't forget.
Yeah.
And the key stat is points. They give up a stack load of points, 30th in the league. Whereas we're, you know, our defense is second in the league. They don't give up a lot of rush yards. They give up a lot of rush yards.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen might have a fun day. I'm just not worried about their defense at all. I think we can score 30 plus in this game easily.
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those ones where we'll do just enough and maybe a little bit more than enough to win. We're probably not going to necessarily just completely blow the doors off, but we'll probably stay 10, 14 points ahead throughout the game and just go through it and just see what they've got.
We absolutely should. Just try and get out there without any injuries, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that's the big one. And, you know, you look at the injury report today, it's actually, you know, going in a pretty good place. Bates is back to full, so is Epineza. Milano's limited, but I think he'll be fine. I think the same for Ed Oliver and Jordan Phillips as well. Poyer's probably having a rest, got his feet up.
That's fine.
Yeah, you just chill, mate. You just show
still,
up.
Still not lost a game. Still not lost a game with him missing.
No.
Yeah.
And you just think if you just that, Mitch Morse aside, the team's starting to look pretty healthy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to look away on there. The fact that this Chicago defense, I still don't know how they've actually managed to play Philadelphia that close, but they've actually they're ranked last in sacks with only 17 sacks. So hopefully this will be a game where our offensive line, fingers crossed, can actually can actually come out of it healthy and keep Josh upright. But I think I've just blown my whole argument of maybe the defense is the one to worry about for the Bears. Because it is just absolutely shocking.
I don't think I've ever seen a team that's so focused on one way of playing that they have got, in terms of average yards per game, they are number one in rushing and last in passing. It's so dialed in to one way of playing. I'd love to see them try and beat us through the air.
Here's a question about the O-line. If we see that Ryan Bates is possibly coming back and full, and if we get Butker back, because he's cleared to practice now, isn't he? But I don't know if that's going to be too soon for the game. Maybe he needs a week or two. But let's suppose that Butker's back on Saturday. Do you play Bates at centre and Butker at guard?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we are in agreement. That makes a change. I was just thinking. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Get Bates back at centre.
I agree totally. Yeah.
I mean, one thing. Obviously, I did mention it in the Dolphins review one. The fact that obviously we're talking about Kyra Lamb and how it should be his game. The one thing, and this is a theory. Not really much of a theory. One thing I picked up on was the game, obviously, that he was completely inactive for. What was that? It was the Jets, not Jets game, Patriots game, Jets game? Or was it before that?
We played Patriots, Jets, I think Patriots. We played Patriots, then Jets, then Dolphins, didn't we?
The fact that they made him inactive because they wanted Xavier Rhodes a lot more on there was due to the play type. So they wanted to actually try and be someone strong against the a run compared to in the air. So don't be surprised if Elam doesn't get as many snaps this week if it is anticipated it's going to be a snow game that they're going to run the ball and actually work with your cornerbacks and your defensives that are actually more suited to a run support game than they are into the past. So we may see a lot more of, as much as people were kind of probably moan when they hear this, Dane Jackson over Elam. I just kind of have a feeling that that's how they're working Elam in, trying to get him based on what he's actually good at to what the opposition will give us in terms of their offensive identity. That's what I'm feeling, and that's kind of what I got at from the game, that he was a healthy scratch.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I think for this game, the way that the Bears play, I'd happily play one corner and just play an extra linebacker, because they're not going to throw the ball enough. Let's just play four tackles or something like that, just whatever it takes to stop the run.
Yeah, and I think that's that. I mean, this would be, to me, if it is going to snow quite heavily, I would actually say this would be a good game not to play Trey White. Because you don't want coming off of ACL, obviously he didn't play against Detroit because of the surface and the turf and all that. And we saw what happened to certain players in Detroit. But you'd kind of think that for this game, if it is going to snow quite a bit, and it's actually going to get a thick amount of snow, that you would actually keep Trey off as long as possible for that game to keep him healthy, because we has just, as we mentioned, we have the Bengals next week. But
I say give him the reps. Give him the reps as a further tune up. I think he probably needs them. And I think he get him another full game, another full week of practice, close as possible to 100% of the reps. I think he'd just be a little sharper, a little less rusty. And then it'd be just that little bit better for the Bengals game the following week.
Yeah, I think match fitness for me is the crucial thing at this stage. And depending on how the game goes, it's something you can review as the game. You might be able to sit him down later on, but I think get him out there first half, especially as much as we possibly can. Hopefully he's not on the field too much anyway, because our offense just keeps having the ball. But I think he's... shake off the rust, get him out there.
So before we end, let's get your final thoughts, and let's get your prediction for the game. So who wants to go first?
Well, last week I almost got the Bills score right. I was one away, but I slightly underestimated what the Dolphins were gonna do. But I was only one off in the Bills score.
You can't say that. Then you say that, and I can say I was close as well. If the Dolphins hadn't scored an extra 12 points.
No. I'm quite happy to be wrong. I'll hold my hand up. I was completely wrong. I was just saying for one half of the score line, I was only one away. That's all I was saying. I was completely wrong about the Dolphins. Played a damn sight better than I should have given them credit for. So I think the Bills are going to win. I think it is going to be snowy. I think it is going to be tough. I think it's going to be something like
2010. Ooh, wow.
No, it's actually 10:30.
It depends when you're listening to this. Could be
Had to get that in there.
It was good. Everyone loves clock jokes.
Clock, is that clock?
Clock jokes, yeah.
Clock.
I may have misread that.
So I'm going to say everyone's terrified about the run. Actually, we do a good job containing Justin Fields. David Montgomery has a reasonable game, like 80, 90 yards or so. A couple of touchdowns, but they don't find a way to stop our offense. And we win 35-17.
Cool.
35-17. I don't want to say this. I think the weather will be the 10th factor. If it is a heavy snow game, I see it being a low scoring game. I want to be proved wrong. I want to see
My score is definitely predicated on the fact that it's not chucking it down with snow. in which case, 3-0 Tyler Bass.
That'd make someone on the group chat really happy if that was the if that was the case. But no, I think I think the weather will play a factor in it. If it is snow and there is quite a bit on the ground, think of the Bills Colts game a few years ago, then it's going to be a close game. I think it could be a one score, low scoring game. But I just feel that if there's like drizzle or like dusting of snow on the field, like you guys, you can't really look beyond a Bills, emphatic Bills win on there. Yeah. I mean, this season, they've only faced four teams with losing records.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It's also Josh Allen's first ever game against the Bears in his career.
Yeah. He didn't play against them in 2018. Was that still with Pete Peterman?
They're still with Peterman.
Was that the 41-9 game?
There was a lot of really bad losses that day. There was a Chargers one, and wasn't there? There was a lot of.
So we own one for that.
Yeah.
But it will be. I think that it's going to be pretty much an offensive murder. You're just thinking that Simpsons meme where the where Homer kills
the hamburger. Stop it! He's already dead.
But I just think that's the case on them. And say with Allen, a couple more stats I'm going to put in there. He's only 29 yards away from being the fastest person to reach 18,000 yards and 3,000 yards rushing. He's 29 pass attempts there. Cam Newton was the fastest in 77 games. Josh Allen will do it with in 76 games.
Cool.
And also, where's the other one? Where's the other
Dan Marino record as well.
Yeah. And he also threw, when he threw against Dolphins for the 304 and 77, he's tied with Michael Vick and Russell Wilson for the most games with 300-yard passing and 75 rushing in NFL history with 3.
Wow.
So just based on that, and that's our quarterback. I'm going to go for, if it's not heavy snow, I'm going to go for, I think we're going to hit, we could hit 40 with this offense. 40.
All right.
47, 40, 14. Let's put it that way.
Oh, wow. Go for it.
That's three
pretty broad predictions there, isn't it?
That's obviously if it's not snowing, but that's that.
So last time we played the Bears, just FYI, it was Nate Peterman. 31 completions in that game. How many yards do you reckon? 31 completions. To put it into context, Mitch Trubisky in the same game had 12 completions for 135 yards.
Nate Peterman had 49 yards.
31 completions, yards. 31 attempts.
31 completions on 49 attempts through 3 interceptions. But how many yards do you reckon he managed in that?
Out
that
61 yards.
He didn't break 100. So I'm going to.
Break 100, but it was only 188 on 31 completions. That Josh Allen would be 400 yards on that amount of completions.
Yeah.
188 and leading receiver that day.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Bills legend.
Yeah.
Now the one last thing I want to put on there, I believe the obviously if you're going down the Fitzrover Bell, I believe will be open on Christmas Eve. So make it Christmassy, have fun down there, and obviously keep following us all on the socials. You will know that by now. So for Robin, Mark, myself, Matt, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
You don't know anything about
Mark.
You don't know anything about work. No. Huh?
That's who we are.
Bills on 3, 1, 2, 3.